Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 41. Vidya Dhanam Tapak Satyam Dharmasyeti Padani Cha Ashramam Cha Yathasankhyam Asvijat Sahavritti Bihi Vidya Dhanam Tapak Satyam Dharmasyeti Padani Cha Ashramam Chayata Samtyam Asvijat Sahavritti Bihi. Vidya, education, dhanam, charity, tapaha, penance, satyam, truth, dharmasya, of religion, iti, thus, padani, four legs. Cha, also. Ashraman. Orders of life. Cha, also. Yata, as they are. Sankhyam, in number. Asvijat, created. Saha, along with vritti bihi, by vocations. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Education, charity, penance, and truth are said to be the four legs of religion. And to learn this, there are four orders of life with different classifications of castes, according to vocation. Brahma created all of these in systematic order. Purport. The nucleus of the four social orders. Brahmacharya, or student life. Grihastha, or household family life. Vanaprastha, or retired life for practicing penance. And sannyas, or renounced life for preaching the truth, is the four legs of religion. The vocational divisions are the brahmanas, or the intelligent class, the kshatriyas, or administrative class. I see what's happening here. Sahavritti bihi means he created the ashrams along with the varnas. The vrittis means the varnas. Okay, the occupations. So that's implying the other four varnas. The vocational divisions are the brahmanas, or the intelligent class, the kshatriyas, or administrative class, the vaishyas, or mercantile productive class, and the shudras, or general laborer class, who have no specific qualifications. All were systematically planned and created by Brahma for the regular promotion of self-realization. Student life is meant for acquiring the best education. Household life is meant for gratifying the senses, provided it is performed with a charitable disposition of mind. Retirement from household life is meant for penance, for advancement in spiritual life. And renounced life is meant for preaching the absolute truth to the people in general. The combined actions of all members of society make the whole situation favorable for the upliftment of the mission of human life. The beginning of this social institution is based on education, meant for purifying the animal propensities of the human being. The highest purificatory process is knowledge
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the purest of the pure. That's the commentary, Sridhar Swami's commentary, that the highest purification is knowledge of the Supreme Lord. That's actually what's required for the success of human life, is Krishna consciousness, and that requires knowledge. One must be, the spiritual master imparts knowledge. He doesn't directly impart love of God without first of all imparting knowledge and purifying the disciple. It's not our process that we take people who are impure and just hit them over the head with love of God. Living entity, love of God does not have to be given to you anyway. Svata Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kobu Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Koruye Udai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion expressed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that prema, Krishna prema, love for Krishna, is a natural thing. Everybody has it. Svata Siddha. It already exists in everybody's heart. Sadhya Kobu Noi. So therefore, it's not something that has to be acquired. Like I have to acquire, you know, 5 lakhs to marry my daughter. That's sadhya, something that has to, I have to work to make that money. But Krishna prema does not have to be acquired. We already have it. It's obscured by our contamination, by our material desires, by our offenses, by our karma. So we have to purify our life, and then the love of God will naturally manifest of its own. So for purification, we require education. We require to work, but to work, unless we're a Vaishya or a Shudra, we need a lot of education. Vaishya needs rudimentary education, how to do arithmetic, you know, maybe a little bit of geography and history, to know what's going on in the world, and how to add accounts. But then a Shudra doesn't need much education at all, maybe a skill, which you can learn as an apprentice. Doesn't need really any school training. We can teach him a little bit of writing, reading and writing. But Brahman and Kshatriya need thorough education. The education is really of character, but there's some other things, skills, information that he does have to acquire. To be a king, you have to know a lot of things. You have to know how to deal with people. You know how to you basically have to know all the occupations of the citizens, understand them. In order to govern the citizens, you have to understand what they're doing. Even like businessmen have to study, you know, have to take a course on computer rudiments to know, you know, to manage their corporations nowadays. They have to know how computers function in a corporation, otherwise they can't manage. They may not be technicians, but they have to know something of it. So Kshatriyas have to know something about everybody's occupation. Brahmanas have a lot they have to know. They may specialize in different subjects, but they generally a Brahmana should know about the Absolute Truth. That's the definition of Brahmana. Brahma janati iti Brahmana. If a Brahman knows nothing about the Absolute Truth, then what kind of Brahman is he? He's not even fitting the definition. So Brahmana needs spiritual education and some practical education, possibly. He may become, he may specialize in Dharma Shastras, he may become an astrologer or a doctor. Doctors are actually nowadays are considered Shudras, but originally they were Brahmanas, medical doctors. Or he may just learn the art of worshipping the Lord and of preaching. That's ideal for medical education. Medical education, it should be in the mode of goodness. We're training a person up to function in the mode of goodness, so his training should be in the mode of goodness. But modern education is nowhere in the mode of goodness. Education has been turned into an industry. Diploma mills. You jump through hoops and fulfill requirements and write something down on paper and you get a PhD and pay a lot of money for that. it's a business transaction. There's some endeavor involved, but it's not. It's rajasic endeavor, not sattvic at all. But what Brahma is originally organizing is sattvic education, Vedic education. The rajasic form, if it's required by anybody, will evolve naturally. Just like people need inferior things, material things, they manifest. The higher things, the sattvic things, degenerate by natural erosion into the things of the mode of ignorance and passion. So mundane education will naturally evolve. What Brahma is interested in organizing is Vedic education. That's his primary program. And he's doing this before he goes ahead and creates the various species of life. First of all, provide for their education. This is proper organization of education. Before anybody's even born, before someone is born, his education should be planned ahead. Brahma is planning for the whole populace of the universe, for their education, before they're even born. Rather, we take people who are already grown up and we try to figure out what to do with them. How to take adult courses for literacy. They didn't learn how to read when they were children. Now we have to teach them when they're grown up. Now they go back and get their high school diploma after they're grown up. We take people at ISKCON, we're taking people who are 25, 30 years old, and at that age, introducing them to the Brahmacharya order. So this is not ideal education. This is ad hoc substitute for the original system, which starts actually before birth. Education is planned and organized and prepared. And then it can begin. From the very moment of birth, a person's proper education can be initiated. But when a child is not, whose intelligence is not matured at all, up to the age of 5 at least, all he can do is play. We can begin before 5 a little bit of teaching, the alphabet, a little bit how to read. But real education begins after Upanayanam. When a Brahmin child receives a sacred thread, then his real education begins. Then he's considered Brahmachari. And then he should maybe leave home and go to live in the Guru's ashram. Or he can go to the village school and remain at home. But his education should begin. If a Brahmin boy born in a Brahmin family, is not given initiation before he's, say, 14 years old, then he's disqualified from actually being a Brahmin. He's called Vratya. Disqualified, simply because he didn't take initiation before a certain age. And if after taking initiation, he has to go to school. He has to be trained up in a sattvic way. This is Brahma's system. He didn't manifest the Vedas out of his mouths just so they could be put on the shelves and accumulate dust. He manifested them because the creatures who took birth, who are going to take birth, those who are capable of taking second birth, initiation, they should study these Vedas. The knowledge was manifested in order to be studied. Although the Vedas exist eternally, they don't require us to study them. They continue to exist even if nobody studies them. Even if they're forgotten, they exist in dormant form, hidden, and they can be rediscovered in the future. But the life of the Vedas is when they're studied. Then they come to life. They can survive without us, but we cannot survive without them. When Shastra is studied, then we get the benefit of it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a clue as to what is the highest education. Vidya varu jivanam. Education is like a young bride then the husband of that bride is Sankirtana. One's mundane education blossoms like a young bride who gets her husband when one engages in Sankirtana. One's intelligence becomes transcendental by engaging in Krishna's devotional service, beginning with chanting his names. And then everything he has learned in the Vedic way or in some mundane way becomes actually useful. We can take our knowledge, we may have studied grammar as young children and maybe some other language skills or mathematics or whatever, but these things are useful. Our knowledge of grammar, our knowledge of poetry, of literature, become useful when we apply it to Krishna's literature, the literature that glorifies the pastimes of Krishna. For that purpose, our knowledge of language becomes actually useful. We use the language to glorify Krishna. We can simply chant Hare Krishna without knowing any grammar. And we can repeat the prayers spoken by others and understand them through a translation. But there's something additional accomplished. There's some extra service to Krishna, and Krishna is pleased very much when we can understand the Shastra, when we can explain it properly, then we can enlighten others. So these skills that we acquire in our education become transcendentally empowered by dovetailing them in Krishna's devotional service. For example, Sri Jiva Goswami was, as a young boy, he was obviously capable of becoming a great pundit. So his uncles didn't discourage him from that. In fact, they said, before you come to Vrindavan, he was ordered. Maybe it was Lord Nityananda who did it. Ordered him to go to Benares and study. And he studied for 10 years there. Deep philosophy, Vedanta philosophy, the other darshans, in the place of the Mayavadis, although his own teachers were not Mayavadis, still he took the time out. He could have gone directly to Vrindavan to join Rupa and Sanatana. But first he went and got this training. And on the strength of it, he was able to do great service. He helped Rupa and Sanatana and Raghunath Das by editing their books, and then he wrote his own books that nobody else could have written. So Brahminical education is very valuable. Someone in the world has to be trained up in that way. Brahma is providing that education, even though only a certain fragment, a certain segment of the population is going to take directly to it, is going to take full advantage of it, but it's required. But some, the actual leaders of society, are trained up in Vedic, in pure, complete Vedic education. And this is the first thing that Brahma is making arrangements for at the beginning of creation. Okay, so any questions or comments?
For example, devotee lives in the temple for 2-3 years, and then suddenly he thinks like, okay, I want to go and study to the university.
Yes.
He approaches his spiritual master, and the spiritual master says, it's enough devotional service, so there's no need for this mundane knowledge. And what will you get in this university?
Yes.
So, in general,
sometimes the spiritual master is encouraged instead, though. Yes, and then?
No, I was asking in general. I mean, every devotee, after living like 2-3 years in the temple, he suddenly feels that he dropped or whatever, he even didn't study on the strength of preaching of the devotees, and came to live in the temple, and after 2-3 years feeling...
That's an unfortunate situation. he should have been provided so much education for during those 2-3 years that he shouldn't feel that he needs to go anywhere else. The temple should be an educational environment, and even devotees who were smart should be satisfied with that. You know, if they're... What do you expect? Prabhupada warned. Feed the devotees nicely in the temple. If you don't, they're going to go outside and eat meat. So if you starve the devotees, of course they're going to want to go outside. He's not satisfied. That devotee is not satisfied with what they've taught him in the temple. He wants to, you know, satisfy his intelligence. What can you do? So the spiritual master may discourage him, or he may think, well, what can we do? You know, he's got an urge, not being satisfied. I can't, you know, make him artificially, you know, deny the urge. So I'll have to let him go to the university. Not that he's necessarily very happy about it. That may be the other way that the spiritual master deals with it. Or some spiritual masters maybe think it's a good idea to send the disciples off to the university. But the underneath all of it, the sad thing is that we should be providing such an environment in the temples that satisfies that urge in the temple. Or in devotional communities, some devotional communities. But why make it another university? Why not do it right then? If you're going to make it in the spiritual community, make an educational environment. Why not make a Vedic educational environment? It may not appeal to everyone. Many devotees want something rajasic. They want to earn a diploma and go out in the world and have a reputation. Okay, do it. For the few who want something purer, that should be provided.
What do you think, how long it will take for wisdom to develop such an environment or social system that to provide, I don't know, education or whatever?
For everybody? Or just
engagement, security, for the members, I mean, not for everybody, but like, ISKCON devotees, like many ISKCON devotees, they have, especially in the developed Western countries, they have their own jobs, they have even their own companies.
Yes.
They're doing own business and sleep. But
well, the resources exist to be able to do it, you know, in a reasonable amount of time, but the priority has to be given to it. If you know, the resources have to be dedicated enough. Part of the resources that we have to be dedicated to education. It has to be given emphasis. Then it can be organized in a few decades. But if no support, no interest is shown in it, then it'll take much longer.
I was sometimes wondering.
There's different kinds of training. You know, very, very Vedic traditional Brahminical education is only going to be for some of the devotees. Still have to provide for everybody else something.
I was also wondering sometimes, how will this continue after, you say, Prabhupada's disciples who
right.
And just pass away?
Who will take up the leadership?
Well, yeah, in general.
That's why some attempts should be made to train up devotees that, you know, who are actually qualified to lead. Managerially and even intellectually, different levels. That's what's required. You may say, oh, but how can we do it? You know, it'll take us 1,000 years. Well, if it takes 1,000 years, then get started now. It may be an over, you know, look like an over endeavor or just something beyond our capacity, but then if it's such a big job, better get started on it. Do something. Start somewhere. Money's required. You know, the two things that are hardest to find, men and money, but they're required. Education has to be supported. That's how the mundane universities are established, by somebody pumping in a lot of money. They don't start, the big universities don't start without money. Money attracts people. That's, you know, Of course, if it's a sattvic institution, then it can do with less money. It's not so much based on money, but some money is required to do anything. So resources have to be channeled by somebody. If not, you know, the institutional bureaucracy, but somebody who has money has to, you know, show interest. Maybe individuals. Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhagavatam Ki Jai.